This morning, you're invited to open your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who's about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept a common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me." When the great crowd of Jews heard that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since on his account of him, that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. It is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on the donkey's colt." Disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It's also because they heard that he performed a sign that this crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, he can do nothing. Look, the world is going after him." Now among those who went to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. Who serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason I come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he would die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The law is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light. And after Jesus said this, he departed and hid himself from them. And though he performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. My friends, to the word of God, for the people of God, thanks be to God. Here in our passage this morning, we see some very opposite approaches to Jesus, opposite responses. Now, Jesus is Jesus, you know, and yet people respond to Jesus very differently. We start off at the beginning of verse 12, and we find out there's a little party going on Saturday night down the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany. You know, just a while ago, we were thanking the Lord for protecting the seventh grader from his injuries, and we can relate a little bit of that to this story because Lazarus was dead and had been buried, and then Jesus raised him from the dead. And so here's his great feast and festival, and there's Jesus. Lazarus next to him. Martha is cooking in the kitchen, serving. You know, Martha's always on top of stuff. And every time I think of Martha, I think about Martha Stewart cooking and such. And then Mary comes in. And every time we see Mary, she's always at the feet of Jesus, right? She's either down there listening to his teachings, or she's there sobbing and weeping for her brother Lazarus. And this occasion, she comes, and she gives him worship. Now, a while ago, Herb led us in a psalm there, and it's about praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you would think that all praise is loud and boisterous and it is roused the rafters. But not all praise is that like that. Some praise is very quiet. And she just eases herself in there and takes that jar of perfume, breaks it, puts it on the feet of Jesus, and then takes her hair down and begins to wipe it. She did so because she loved Jesus. She was so grateful that he had raised her brother from the dead. But somebody had to find fault with it. Judas Iscariot came along and said, "This is being wasteful." And you know, said, "This perfume can be sold for a whole year's wages and the money given to the poor." Now that sounds very religious. But then we find out that Judas was the treasurer, and he would help himself to the purse from time to time. And so there was a conflict of interest. And Jesus tells old Judas, "Leave her alone. She bought it so she might keep it for the day of my burial." Even on this festive occasion, Jesus was looking forward, his eyes set on Good Friday, to his death on the cross and burial in the tomb. And he tells Judas, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Now, do not misconstrue that like some folks do and say that means don't help the poor. No, that's not what that means. What it means is, Judas, there's plenty of opportunities in the future to take care of the poor. But the window of opportunity to be a blessing to me is very small. But my time is coming to an end. And then we learned that some other folks have some different opinions about Jesus. On one hand, we got one crowd of folks who are outside trying to look inside the window because they want to see Jesus and Lazarus, the man Jesus raised from the dead. Lazarus has become a celebrity, if you will. And it's interesting, if you go to the town of Bethany today in Israel, the Arab population back in the 2nd century renamed it to an Arabic name, which means House of Lazarus. So say what you want, something happened in Bethany that was so important to a guy named Lazarus that the Arab people renamed it House of Lazarus. And as a result, these people were believing on Jesus. Remember Jesus prayed, "Father, I said this, not for my sake, but for their sake, so they may believe you sent me." But yet, at the same time, you got this other crew, the chief priests, saying, "We can't have this. So we're going to kill Jesus and Lazarus." Poor Lazarus, he's going to die twice. He's not careful. Well, then we come the next morning, Palm Sunday. And listen to those joyful words. People were shouting, Hosanna. Blessed the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And there is Jesus riding humbly on the donkey. And here he quotes from the prophet Zechariah, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming, riding on the donkey's colt. And so on one hand, you got folks rejoicing, being glad. But then you got the Pharisees. Excuse me. You see, you can do nothing. Look, the whole world is going after him. So while folks are celebrating, another folks got their arms crossed. Again, very different opinions. And then sometime during Holy Week, we don't know if this happened on Palm Sunday. I kind of think it happened a little later in the week. But you had some Greeks came in for the visit. They go to Philip. Philip is a Greek name, means lover of horses, by the way. And they said, Sir, we will see Jesus. And so Philip goes to get his buddy Andrew, and Philip and Andrew go up to Jesus. And Jesus is very troubled, and he says, The hour is come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, the Son of Man, that has to do with the book of Daniel. Jesus doesn't call himself Son of God or Son of David or Son of Mary. But he always refers to himself as Son of Man, this great divine being from the book of Daniel. The Son of Man must be glorified. And then he gives a lesson that every farmer knows. If I give you a cob of corn and you eat the corn, that was good. Yeah, now what? But if you take that corn and plant the seeds into the ground, later on it'll become into a great harvest that could feed you through the whole wintertime. And Jesus said, A grain of wheat is just a grain of wheat. But if it dies and it's buried in the ground, many more shall live. He's talking about his death and burial and giving birth to the church. And then he says, Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, for this reason I come to this hour. And then he looks up to heaven and says, Father, glorify your name. And then the voice from heaven says, I have glorified it, and now glorify it again. And sometimes folks will say, Why doesn't God just speak to us directly? You know, that would solve the problem. Well, he does in this story, but what happens? One group of people said, No, that's just lightning. You know, we didn't hear nothing, lightning. Another group said, That was an angel, a messenger of a God. Again, division. And Jesus tells the people, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be driven out. In other words, Satan is about to be destroyed, turn over his grip on the world. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw people to myself. Now, a lot of times folks read that and it says, I've been lifted up, and think, Oh, this is about giving him praise and glory. Lift Jesus up. No, it's not about that. When he said, When I've been lifted up, his audience knew that he was talking about the cross. When they would lift up that cross beam and attach him to the cross to die a very cruel and painful death. And the crowd asked him, We have heard from the law the Messiah remains forever. How can you say this Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And what did Jesus say to them? The light is with you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you're going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so you may become the children of the light. And after Jesus said this, he departed and hid from them. And that's why I think this probably took later on in Holy Week. And so the last thing Jesus told the crowd during Holy Week in Jerusalem was, For a little while longer, the light is with you. While there is light, put your faith in the light, so that you may become the sons and the daughters of the light. What Jesus was saying was, here in a few days, the forces of darkness is going to come in, and I'll be dead and buried. But while I'm with you, the light is with you. Do not miss this opportunity to put your faith in the light. And in one of the saddest verses in all the Bible, verse 37, although he performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. The fact is that some folks, regardless how many miracles Jesus performed, no matter how great his sermons were, they refused to believe in Jesus. And Jesus tried one last time, reached out to him and said, while there is light, put your faith in the light, so that you may become sons and daughters of the light. Now, what about us this morning? Who are we in this story? Are we like Mary, worshiping Jesus, giving him our very best? Are we like Judas over here, trying to do some wheeling and dealing, being shady? Are we like the people saying, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord? Are we like the Pharisees going, everybody's going after him? Are we like those Greeks saying, sir, we will see Jesus? Are we like Philip and Andrew bringing people to Jesus? And then most importantly, are we the children of the light? No, Jesus told his disciples, no, you are the light of the world. No, here in a few days, we've got an eclipse coming up, right? And it gets dark for a little bit, separation. But you know the moon itself doesn't have any light, does it? It merely reflects light from the sun. In the same way, we as Christians should be reflecting light from God's Son, Jesus, into a dark world. While there is light, let us on this Palm Sunday put our faith in the light, so that we may become sons and daughters of the light. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right. And because Palm Sunday is kind of a kid-friendly Sunday, and because Jesus spoke so much about the light and darkness, I invite you to open your red church hymnal to page 342. Now, this is a song many of us know, but we may not have sung in a while. The song called This Little Light of Mine.